For our scripture reading this morning, let us turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 4. And this morning we will read the verses 1 through 10. And the text of the sermon will be the portion we read this morning. From John, chapter 4, the verses 1 through 10. And there we read God's holy word. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. So far the reading of the Word of God. Beloved congregation, we write above the sermon, the meeting at Jacob's well, A thirsting Jesus who did not receive. Secondly, a thirsting woman who did not give. And thirdly, a giving Jesus. The meeting at Jacob's well. A thirsting Jesus who did not receive. A thirsting woman who did not give. A giving Jesus. Today, Wednesday, and next week, we will listen to the history of the Samaritan woman. Actually, it's about the Lord Jesus who went through Samaria to meet this woman with the aim of seeking and saving her. The Lord Jesus was traveling from Judea to Galilee. In Judea, he had preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. Although he gained disciples, as we read in verse 1, his preaching bore little fruit. In the previous chapter, we read that the Lord said to Nicodemus that no man receives his testimony. Nicodemus was one of the followers, although he came by night because he was afraid to be criticized by fellow Pharisees. Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews, a member of the Sanhedrin. He followed Jesus from a distance. He came because he would like to know more about Rabbi Jesus. He was impressed by his preaching. But he did not bow before Jesus. He did not acknowledge Jesus as the promised Messiah, not yet. After this meeting, the Lord Jesus left Jerusalem and Judea. In verse 3, it is emphasized that he left the region. He left the Jewish Judea with the aim of going to the Galilee of Gentiles, as Galilee was named in the scriptures. Galilee was a despised region because of wrong Gentile influences. During this journey, it happened that the Lord Jesus went through Samaria. Why do we read that he must needs go through Samaria? Well, because it was the shortest way. The route along the west bank of the Jordan River was shorter than the route through Perea. through Perea and Decapolis. That was an alternative route which the Jews chose most of the times. But why did they prefer the long route? Because Samaria was despised by the Jews. There was a great contrast between the religion of the Jews and the religion of the Samaritans, as we will notice further in the story. Samaritans were half Jew and half heathen. They descended from Jewish people who had remained after the exile of the 10 tribes into Assyria in 722 before Christ. After this deportation, pagans came to live in their land. They mingled with the Jews. As a result, the mixed people served many gods. Centuries later, when they served the God of Israel again, they did it in their own way. They acknowledged only the 5 books of Moses and worshipped the Lord on Mount Gerizim and denied Jerusalem as the proper place to worship God. For that reason, the Jews hated the Samaritans. They couldn't tolerate them. In their hatred, they spit on the ground when they passed a Samaritan. And he must needs go through Samaria. He must needs. For him, there was another way. There was another reason. Because he was to meet this woman. He had to meet her. Because God wanted it. A woman of Samaria had to be saved. That's why the Lord Jesus must needs go through Samaria, a lost sheep, and to be sought and found. God's electing love and his sovereign grace caused him to travel through Samaria. God wanted to be glorified through this half-heathen woman who led a wicked life. The people of Judea stood from a distance and did not accept him. Now he came into Samaria, and the first meeting was with a woman who would glorify God's work. He traveled from Judea to Galilee, and when he arrived at Samaria, he sat down at a well. He was wearied from his journey. It had been a long and tiresome journey through the mountain district. It was in the middle of the day when he arrived at Jacob's well. He was tired, and the summer heat made him thirsty. Never forget that the Lord Jesus was very man and also very God. In the previous chapter, we read that the Lord Jesus told Nicodemus that he had come from heaven to tell heavenly things. The great, holy, and eternal God came in our weak flesh. He is very God and very man. He ate, drank, slept, worked, and cried. He knew what it is to be tired. The Lord Jesus humbled himself by being like us. He knew tiredness and thirst. Now he came to Jacob's well to rest and drink. The disciples went to the city to buy food. They had left Jesus at the well. The Lord Jesus was thirstier than the 12. Why was he more worried than the disciples? They were all tired, of course. But apparently there was something that made the Lord Jesus more tired. What could that be? It was the continual suffering that started in the beginning of his life. We confess with the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 15, that he suffered all the time that he lived on earth. His suffering made him tired. It worried him to be in a wicked world. It worried him that he had come to Judea, but especially the fact that they did not receive him. The Pharisees and scribes worried him with their blindness and foolishness. Even the disciples were slow of heart to understand all that he had spoken. He suffered under these things: the self-righteousness, the unbelief, the hard hearts. It made him sad. It grieved him in his soul. It worried the Lord. And we can worry the Lord as well. We grieve the Lord with our unbelief, our sin, our impenitent heart. We worry him when we hear the word of the Lord but don't do his word, when we argue with the Lord. We worry him as well after having received grace if we are slow to hear his word and we don't serve him as we ought. We worry him when we continue in sin. Every sin is an unbearable burden on his shoulders. He was worried. Have you seen it yet for yourself? That he was worried because of your sins? What a reason to humble yourself before the Lord. You need to consider by yourself your sins and the curse you burden him with. The beloved Son, Jesus Christ, suffered under the wrath of God, caused by the sins of his people. Sins are terrible. We need to consider this when we examine ourselves before the Lord. Because in this way, the miracle of God's mercy will be opened to you for the first time and again. The Lord sat down at the well, not only to quench his temporary thirst. The Lord Jesus also looked forward to quench his spiritual thirst. Did the Lord Jesus know spiritual thirst? Yes, he did. The Lord himself said to the disciples in verse 32, "I have meat to eat that ye know not of." The Lord knew spiritual hunger. Doing the will of his Father was his food and drink. The Lord Jesus looked forward. Yes, he longed intensely to bestow salvation. For this cause he came into the world, to do the will of his Father. And what was his will? To seek and to save that which was lost. The Lord Jesus is thirsting for the salvation of the woman whom he would meet at the well. The Lord wanted to deliver her from the bonds of sin in which she was trapped. She had had five husbands, and the man she had now was not her husband. The Lord wanted to save her from her guilt. He wanted to deliver her from her ignorance, her powerlessness, and her unwillingness. He wanted to break her heart open and to make room for his marvelous work. Is that what you need too? We read in verse 7, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, Give me to drink." He thirsted for water. For that reason he asked her, "Give me to drink." The Lord started a conversation with her so that it would come to the point that she needed him, so that she would serve him who asked for her heart. When we listen carefully to the whole story, we hear an evangelical invitation in his question: "My daughter, give me your heart." The Lord Jesus was thirsting for her heart. The Lord Jesus is thirsty in a world which the scriptures called a thirsty land. His thirst would be quenched only if this woman repented. Her repentance and her confession of sin would refresh his soul. Who was this woman? She was a woman of Samaria. That means that she lived in the region of Samaria, not far from Jacob's well, presumably in Sychar. Thus was a thirsty woman. She was a thirsty woman. After all, she went to the well to draw water. But she was not only thirsty for literal water. There was another thirst as well. It is striking that this woman came to the well in the middle of the day, the sixth hour after sunrise. So it was the time the sun was at its greatest high and heat. Very unusual to draw water at this time. Usually, people draw water in the morning or evening when the sun was low. At the time she came, she wouldn't meet anyone. That was her purpose. Why? Because she was a sinner. People criticized her because of her sinful life. People of Samaria rejected her way of life, and her daily task was drawing water. That is what she did at the sixth hour, every day. That was her thirst, doing her daily task, drawing water. Her spiritual thirst was not only caused by her sinful life. Her spiritual thirst was also her daily care, drawing water. That was the task of her life. She lived for here and now. She lived to survive. That was her life. She could drink of nothing spiritual. She was blind. That is obvious, for she did not understand any of the Lord's words. He spoke to her about living water. She could only think about the things she saw and knew. At the end of the talk, her eyes were opened to see her real state. When she received spiritual eyes, she didn't think any more about drawing water. Then she left her water jar, and went into the city and told the people about the Messiah who was sitting on the well. But now her life was no more than drawing water. Jesus, who was sitting on the well, met her. He spoke to her so simply, "Give me to drink." His first words to her were, "Give me." The Lord Jesus didn't start the conversation with commandments such as, "You should do this or that. You may not commit adultery." Sure, the Lord pointed out her sins later on. But first of all, he addressed her in such a way that she would experience what she lacked. What did she lack? She lacked God. The Lord Jesus said, "Give me." But she didn't want to. She will not draw water for this stranger. No. First of all, she would have to know more about him, because there were a few remarkable things. First of all, that a man should talk to her and ask her for water. That was very unusual. In those days, it was not common for a man to talk to a woman in public. It is improper for a man to ask a woman for water. Moreover, it was remarkable that a Jewish man should talk to a Samaritan woman, for Jews didn't communicate with Samaritans. In the eyes of the Jews, it was like associating with swine, unclean animals. But the Lord Jesus said to her, "Give me." The Lord draw attention to himself. The Lord broke into her life by drawing attention to himself, for this woman was filled with herself and with the things of this temporal life. She answered him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? How is it that thou? And this bespeaks not only her amazement, but her doubt as well. How is it? It's always said, how is it? It's always said, when you are in doubt about God and His power, His wisdom and His majesty, if there is a God, how is it possible that? If God rules the world, how can there be so much sorrow in this world? And without faith, we are inclined to answer with how? If we don't know Jesus Christ, we are inclined to ask how? By nature, our heart wants to reason. We want to know about the how of grace before we want to receive it. We can be caught up in questions about the how of grace, even when we are serious and we long to know the Lord. How can I serve the Lord? How can I mortify my sin? How can my life be renewed? How can I know that I am permitted to celebrate the Lord's Supper? One might say, it is not wrong to ask these questions. No, that is true. And I wish that we all had these questions. But these questions are not sufficient. We need more. We need Him. These questions have to bring us to Jesus' feet. All our how questions will be solved only in Christ. Questions like, how can I believe? How can I trust? Will melt away when I bow down before Him and listen to His instruction. We have to lose our how questions. The Lord asked her, give me. But she didn't want to. First of all, she wanted to know how before she could give. The Lord Jesus is so patient. He gives her further instruction. He would teach her who He was so she could give what He was thirsting for. She needed to know who she was before there would be room for the glorious saving work of the Lord Jesus in her life. He would uncover her spiritual thirst, which she could not quench by herself. He uncovered her of her need so that she would go to Him with her need. He wanted to bring her to His feet so she would discover that what is impossible with man is possible with God. Congregation, do we know anything of the uncovering work of the Lord? By nature, our life is filled with drawing water. What do I mean? Drawing water was the daily task of this woman. Her mind was filled with the pursuits of daily life. Her mind was only fixed on temporal things. Temporal things are not wrong as such, but if our mind and our heart is filled with only the things of temporal life, then our thirst is focused on temporal life as well. In addition to this, we have sinful desires, thoughts, and deeds. Our thirst is not focused on eternal things, but on temporal things. We tend to seek only the things of this life. We thirst for the things we see, but don't pay attention to the things unseen. The awesome reality that your soul needs to be saved. The reality that you have a debt which has to be paid. That you can only have peace and rest in your hearts if you find it in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just take a look at your calendar. Is it filled with activities only? Where are you going? What would you like to attain to? Does it have anything to do with the kingdom of God? If not, your life is like this woman's. Look in the mirror. The Lord Jesus is asking you this morning, give me to drink. Come to me with your need. Come with your life full of sins, your wasted life. Give me your heart. The Lord Jesus heard her amazement and her doubt. Yes, there was some mockery in her answer. How is it that thou? She maintained her proud posture and didn't really listen to the stranger. But although she didn't move, he bowed down to her in humbleness and sought her in her need, for he was thirsting for her salvation. The Lord Jesus answered her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Still she didn't know what the Lord was talking about. Still she continued in her thirst and didn't see the gift that God could give her in Christ. She was blind to him. But Lord Jesus made clear, slowly but surely, that she did not have to give, but that God had something to give. She thought that she had to give water to him. But the Lord Jesus wanted to teach her that salvation doesn't exist in giving, but in receiving. God is giver, and all that we have to do is to receive. If thou knewest the gift of God. What's the gift of God? It's salvation, forgiveness of sin, and eternal life. It is the living water that the Lord Jesus mentioned at the end of verse 10. If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink. But she didn't know who he was who talked to her. If she knew who he was, if she knew the gracious gift he had, she would have asked him. She would receive it. For he is so willing to bestow the gift of God. He did come to Jacob's well to give to this woman. But if she wished to receive, she would have to take the position of a receiver instead of being the one who gave. Thou wouldest have asked of him. Yes, that's what happens when you need living water. How will you get living water? How can I receive salvation? How will you receive forgiveness of sin? The answer is quite simple. By asking. Just like the publican, the tax collector, who could not even look up to heaven because he was so humble before the Lord. The only thing he could do was ask. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh God, give me living water. The Lord promised. Open, said the Lord, wide thy mouth. One of us may think, how will I receive? I have prayed for mercy so often. I have prayed for salvation for such a long time, but I don't receive. Tell me, my friend, what could be that reason? Do we have to seek the reason in him who said that he is willing to give living water? No. There's no reason in the Lord Jesus that he should not give grace. What is the reason? Let us listen carefully to the text again. If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink. The Lord Jesus is saying that We will ask if we know the gift of God and know Him. So we have to know Him. And knowing Jesus comes with knowing myself. We will truly learn to ask for the gift of God if we have become honest. When I see my guilt before God, when I experience my need, when I confess my sin, that is the place of humility. But by nature, we don't like that place, because then you have to acknowledge and to confess that you have no rights, that the Lord would do no injustice if He passed me by. When you have to confess that you are not better than this woman who had had five husbands bound in the chains of death. But the Lord Jesus wants to convict you through His Spirit. When you apply the word to your heart, when He applies the word to your heart, you will see that your life without faith and without conversion is a life without God. That is a life which we can summarize in one word: thirst. You are thirsty as long as you live without God. You are thirsty as long as you don't know peace in your heart. Thirsty until you know the miracle of God's gift, namely that He grants living water to the thirsty. You have to lose everything: your self-righteousness, your good intentions, your zeal for God. You have to acknowledge these are only filthy rags. You have to acknowledge, if Thou didst not make me ask, I would never ask for living water. You see, before I really desire living water, the Lord has to convince me of the need of living water, of the sufficiency of living water. We will not be saved just by seeking. We will not be saved just by asking. The means as such won't save us. The Jews thought that the law or wisdom were source of life. Jesus Christ proclaims to us that Moses doesn't save us. Neither does the law. No, Jesus alone. It's about Him. Knowing Him is what we need, for He is the source and the giver of life. And why is He living water? Because only He can save us. He has left the heavenly glory. He was made in likeness of man. He accepted our weak flesh. He became worried because of the sin and unbelief of the world. He went the unfathomable way of deep humiliation. He bore the curse and the guilt of His people on His shoulder. For He loved the justice of His Father so much. By being made a curse before God, He bore away the guilt of His people as surety and mediator. He fulfilled the law by His total obedience. That's why He is the source of salvation. Because of what He has done, of who He is, a Savior who is willing to receive sinners. Yes, He did look for that woman that who had five husbands. He looked forward to her coming to Him. The Lord Jesus is still the same. He longs for a boy and a girl, for a man and a woman of the congregation of Hamilton to confess his or her sins to Him. You and I have worried the Lord Jesus with our sins, but the Lord Jesus doesn't become tired of saving sinners. That's the miracle of the gospel. For the Lord saves sinners by quenching their thirst. It is His dearest work. That is the reason why the gospel of free grace has been preached until now. He is calling thirsty people. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Have you come to him asking for living water? He who reveals himself, who reveals himself in the preached word, wants to awaken this question in your heart. Give me to drink. Give me from the fountain of salvation. Make me alive, so I will be a man, a woman, like thou hast meant me to be. He is the Savior who will prepare the table next week. Who will he expect? Those who are thirsty after God. For people who are thirsty for communion with God, who are thirsting after fellowship with him, these are people who have nothing else but guilt, who have to admit that they increase their debt every day, who have to confess, I am in the midst of death, but who by the grace of God has discovered that there is one who saves. He has opened your eyes, so you have heard him saying, give me to drink, give me your heart. And by the power of his Spirit, you have had to surrender. He has removed all your obstacles so that you fell on your knees in deep humility and you no longer asked, how? No, you have learned to ask, give. Give me to drink living water. Grant me thy salvation, merited by Jesus Christ. Do you know this prayer? You don't ask it only once, but you ask it time and again, because you are miserable in yourself. You often have your doubts, and there is still so much unbelief remaining in your heart. You are in the midst of death, but that's exactly what the Lord will teach you in the ministry of the Lord's Supper. That you can only do one thing, cry for mercy. Receive mercy from the source of salvation, sealed and signed in bread and wine. But if this prayer has never entered your life, then you can't celebrate the Lord's Supper. When your life is not characterized by a thirst for God, I'm afraid that you have never tasted the living water of the free grace of God. Then something in your life has to change. Yes, you have to repent. A life without the mercy of the Lord Jesus will end in an everlasting thirst. Don't seek it in this world. Don't seek it in yourself. Don't seek it in your religion. But seek it in him who says that he is the living water. Perhaps one of us thinks that he is too sinful to receive this living water. You have sinned so long and so much. You think that grace can be yours because you have made such a mess of your life. What kind of people will be saved? Let us turn back to the beginning of this story. The Lord Jesus must needs to go through Samaria. He had to pass because of God's will. He was the first who arrived at Jacob's well. He would meet a woman who didn't count on his coming and who preferred to stay with her sins. He would meet a woman who didn't know him and whose heart was closed and whose understanding was darkened. The Lord Jesus met her at a moment when she preferred to meet no one. But he wanted to meet her. Perhaps you are in church without any expectation, without any hope, and without any prayer. You are without the Lord Jesus and without thirsty for him. It would be a miracle if this word applied to you, and he must needs go through Samaria, and he must needs go through Hamilton, because of his thirst to glorify his mercy to sinners. Listen carefully. The Lord Jesus is still the same. Then pray, Lord, seek me in my need. Give me to drink of the source of salvation, because no human might, no earthly pride, delights the Lord above. In them that fear him he delights, in them that trusts his love. Amen.